Thank you, Don. Thank you, Tracy. We really appreciate those. We're really able to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. But I'd just like to take time now to, as much as we worship the Lord in song, I'd really like us to just express our worship to Him through our very hearts and words wherever you are at the moment. I just got a scripture and it just came through my daily reading this morning, and I read it from the NLT, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. The NIV says He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And I'd just like us to take some time as we worship the Lord in song. Let's extend our hearts and worship Him with our spirits and in truth now. Let's give Him the glory that's honored to Him. So we're going to take a little bit of time now, and maybe where you are, close your eyes, and let's express our words toward you. We bring glory to your name. We see in the Psalms that David, Lord, he had a heart after yours, and he was continually, through his difficulties, he was continually to purpose to worship you and to exalt you and to honor you. And Lord, we are no different today, that we are found in Christ, and we still have the ministry to worship you and to glorify you as your priests. And we take up our mantle of our priesthood here today, Father, and we glorify you as your body here, as your family. That, Lord, as we stand as one before you, we've come into your throne room of grace, and we lift your name on high and we exalt you. We recognize who you are, that you're the Lord God Almighty. We recognize your characteristics, that you're loving and kind and faithful, full of grace and mercy and slow to anger. Who is there to compare with you? And then we recognize that you paid the price that we could be part of your family, and that you could come to live inside of us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we glorify you here this morning. Lord, as the scripture says and the song says, we turn our eyes upon you, turn our eyes upon Jesus, and look in your wonderful face. We see you, Lord, we face you. We don't turn away from you. We look to you today, and we honor you and praise you and glorify you. Please do that. And you might have gone through some difficulties over this last while, and your focus might have come off Jesus. I want you to put your eyes upon the visible image of God, who is Christ. That's who God has destined us to, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So, Lord, will you take up your rightful place as the head of our lives, as Lord, as Master? Will you, again, as we restore you through our praise and worship, will you rule and reign in and through us and over us, as you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Praise your mighty name, Lord. Praise your. Come, Holy Spirit, and minister to your people, the sheep of your pasture, that they will find your freedom and your liberty now. And even, Lord, as we worship, will you bring healing to those that are not well, those that are sick physically, to those that are sick emotionally, to those that are sick mentally. We ask, Lord, will you come? And especially those that do not know you, will you minister your grace today? We thank you, Lord. Praise your mighty name. Thank you, Lord. I just really did sense as we began to worship the Lord is that I believe the Lord really wants to encourage you and wants you to realize that you are His child. God is your Father through Christ, and you're part of a family. You're part of the household of God, and you need to be encouraged with that. Sometimes we get lonely. Sometimes we seem so far away, and we because we haven't been fed to you, not. God places us in families. He's placed us in His family. He's given us one another, and He loves us, and He's placed us in a family that we can be loved by one another. And I want to just say, from myself and from the elders and the people at Church of the Way, you are loved and you are precious and you belong to His family. God's placed you in this place for this time, and rejoice in that you're part of His family. You're not a misfit. You belong to Him. He's given his life that you can be part of his family. Amen. We're going to continue our worship and with the incredible opportunity God gives us to make sacrifice and being generous with our tithes and offerings. And I want to just say thank you to all of you and your faithfulness to God in your generosity. I'm being amazed in the season when things have been so difficult that you've been generous in your giving. And I want to say thank you to you as you've honored the Lord. It's a blessing. It's provided for the kingdom to continue to advance, and you'll never know what your sowing has done. But I do believe as you cheerfully have given to the Lord, he will continue to bless you and undertake. You know, it's a time where we find ourselves as we sow, it's a time for miracles. And I really do believe we are experiencing miracles, and you're going to continue to see miracles in God's provision going forward. So don't fear. Keep trusting the Lord. Keep in being obedient to him, especially in the area of generosity, in giving not just our finances, but of ourselves. Continue to be generous and giving his love and giving his kindness to others. You'll just see how God will make that seed grow and multiply. You know, be blessed. And today's offering is for an apostolic offering. So as we church in the homes, and maybe the leaders there can facilitate the collection of the tithes and offerings there. Let me pray for you as you've given generously to the Lord. Father, we see in the scriptures about the Philippian church that was generous in giving. And Lord, you said that God, you will meet all their needs according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus because of their giving. And I want to pray for everyone here at Church on the Way, Lord. Thank you for their generosity. Thank you for their giving. And Lord, we ask that you would meet every one of their needs as they have given to you. And not only that, because of your great love, will you continue to show them your grace and your mercy now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for giving to the Lord. Just an announcement as we're going forward. Next Sunday, I don't know if you know what's happening, we're gathering together again at the church hall. I'm very excited about that. We've prayed about it, and the government has facilitated that. So I'm asking you not to be fearful. I'm asking you to come. We're taking all the precautions that we need to. I think it's a time to step out in faith and trust God. We don't live like the world. We live by faith. And we don't live by sight. But let's be careful in what we are doing. So we're looking forward to next Sunday, wearing masks and sanitizing and doing all the right things there. But we look forward to gathering together. And also just a note that we continue to pray on Wednesdays. It's a role that we have as God's body. We pray Wednesdays through MS Teams and YouTube Live. I really encourage you to get to that. We need you. God needs you. We move mountains in those prayer times. It's not just a facilitation of another meeting. It's the work of the gospel. And I really encourage you to be at that time. So I'm going to preach, and we'll have the prophetic input afterwards. So I really come to encourage you this morning in respect of God's word. And, you know, I really do believe as we lead the church and go forward, we need to be an apostolic prophetic people, and we need to be hearing the Spirit of God, what he's saying. And, you know, God speaks to us every week through the prophetic, and sometimes we may not hear, but we think that's very nice. But I want us to be hearing what the Spirit of God is actually saying to us. And on the 27th of September, the Lord used Sally, and I want to just read her word again to us and just remind us of what the Lord is actually saying to us. And then I want to preach an aspect of that and how to go forward with what the Lord is actually saying to us. And this morning, God showed me a combine harvester baling hay on a field. There was urgency, and the crop had to be baled before the rains came and spoilt by the lank grass of the past season. And in a sense, he's saying, the fields are white unto harvest, and send out the workers to bring the harvest in before the day is long gone. For many, their hearts are open and their spirits are quickened. There's a longing for more than they experienced. The change of season has brought hope and a clamoring for me, the God of creation. They have made promises to themselves and their families for the need to find me. Many have come to the end of themselves over this time of isolation and cannot go on without me. They are dangling on a thread and hope that they're dissipating and that they will, and they are desperate. Be intentional and bold as you gather and harvest. Bring fresh hope to the people that are languishing and wasting in their self-efforts to survive. Arise, my loved ones, and go out in haste to bring the lost and dying. Hone your skills, prepare your testimonies, and be a going church. And I really believe that's an encouragement from the Lord. We have a task as God has prepared the world at this time, brought them to their knees in their brokenness and in their sin, and we have a testimony that we have to get out there and to meet the people with this good news that Jesus has actually given us. So the title of the message today is Eyes on His Harvest. And if you'll get your Bibles, my text today is from Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 to 38. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 to 38. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out the laborers into his harvest." Now, I want to just cover this today, and I've got 4 points that I want to cover today. Firstly, the Lord's Prayer, his assignment, and open our eyes, and the power of an invitation. So the first point is the Lord's Prayer. Now, you think I'm referring to Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer. No, this is a prayer that the Lord also asked that we should pray. Matthew chapter 9, 37 to 38. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Now, we all believe in prayer, and we've been speaking about it and about trusting God and his promises. But I ask you a question. How many prayers have you had answered? And I hope that many of your prayers have been answered, because God is alive and he hears and he answers, because that's a father's heart. He doesn't hold back. But I want to just say is that how many of his prayers have been answered? And this is one of his prayers that he wants us to pray. He wants us to take our eyes off ourselves and bring us to a place of where he is focusing. And you know, that's a blessed thing, where we can focus not only on Jesus, but focus on what he's looking at. And we need to get our eyes back on his harvest. You see, this lockdown has brought us to a place of a new normal. And I really believe God is putting us on mission. He never stopped. Matthew 28, the Great Commission, that's the mission that he's given us, to go and make disciples of all nations. That is not stopped. And God loves mankind. He died for mankind, and he wants us to be out there reaching them with his love and with his grace. God doesn't want any to perish. Yes, men make decisions, but God doesn't want any to perish. So I want us, very important in our prayer lives, not to get focused on the wrong things. So often in our prayer walk, we are very selfish, and it's all about us and what we want. We trust in sometimes for the wrong gospel. We trust him for a carefree life, a problem-free life, that life is just comfortable, that we live life, and God provides everything. But I say to you, life is not that. God puts us through trials. Why? To get us closer to him, to trust him, and to see his nature, and to see his power working through us. So his prayer is that we need to be praying. And I want to just say, as I trust in your prayer list that you've got there, will you add this to your prayer list, to pray for the laborers to go out there? Now, before you can pray for the laborers to go out there and to do the work in his harvest, you need to ask yourself, are you just a child in the kingdom of God, or are you a laborer? Are you a worker working with the Lord? You know, the scripture tells us that we need to be servants. And I'm asking you today, are you truly a servant of the Lord? Are you a laborer? And, you know, we need to put our hands up for that. You know, God doesn't force us to do anything. The harvest is there, but we need to put our hands up to want to work with him. And we all know Isaiah 6, verse 8, and Isaiah was hearing God's conversation in the throne room of grace, and the Lord said, "Who shall I send?" What did Isaiah respond to the Lord? He said, "Lord, here am I, send me." And I want to say that should be our response too, is that we should be responding to the Lord, that we will be sent by him. So let's remember his assignment. The author of salvation loves man, and he wants all men to be saved. You see, so often the gospel that we preach is about building us up, But I want to just say that's Christ in you, the hope of glory. But the reality, Christ in you actually wants to work through you. And we need to give God his opportunity to work through us. So I really do believe there's a season as we go forward. As that prophecy said, and it's been said before, we're going to be a church on the go. And I'm going to be over this week and next week, we're going to be expanding. How can we be a church on the go going forward? So secondly, what is his assignment? You know, the Bible talks about that God opens up the opportunities, and nothing is coincidence when it comes to us living in the kingdom of God and living here on earth. God gives great opportunities, and we see that in from Paul's life. We see in 1 Corinthians 16, 8 to 9, and verse 9 says, Paul says, "Yeah, because an effective, great door of effective workers opened to me." He saw God go before and open up the door. And then in Ephesians 5, verse 15 to 16, in verse 16, it says, making the most of every opportunity. You see, God is committed to the harvest, and he will give us opportunities for that. And we need to have those outworking a lot. We need to recognize that when God is actually working with us to give us opportunities. When I was still at Cornerstone, there was a man named Ted Carr who led Youth for Christ. And his mother was a wonderful warrior for the Lord. And she was in her 90s and she was quite ill. We went to go and visit her in hospital. And there she was. And she wouldn't fall asleep to go be with the Lord because she was contending for her niece, her niece to come to know the Lord. She said, "I cannot go until this little one comes to know the Lord." And we had to encourage her to let go and let God still be doing that work. But she had such a passion to be serving the Lord and to be preaching the gospel. She wouldn't go home to be with the Lord until she wanted her niece to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. So how do we fulfill the assignment going forward? Mother Teresa said, start with the face in front of you. So it's not a thing, it's a face. It might be your neighbor, it might be a teacher, it might be a family member, a co-worker, a colleague, the petrol attendant, the person that you go to where you buy your shopping. There's no randomness in God. See the face, see the person. It might seem such a small thing. You see, we can't do all these crusades and that anymore because of the season that we find ourselves. But I don't believe that. God said, love your neighbor. And we need to get out there and we need to minister to the face in front of us. So how do we do this? I want to say to you, you cannot do this alone. You need to do this with God, the Holy Spirit. We need to partner with him. He needs to give us the love and the compassion for people. And maybe you don't have that at this moment and you may be a bit selfish. I want to really encourage you is that selfishness doesn't work in the kingdom of God. All of us have to deal with it. All of us have to put it aside. You know, the Lord even said, deny self, take up your cross and follow me. So we're quite good at denying self, but we don't take up the cross. And the cross is to crucify it. It's actually, crucifixion is actually a death to it. Why? That the Holy Spirit can put the love of God again in our hearts and that we can follow the Lord and do things his way. So to partner with the Holy Spirit takes getting rid of selfishness. And maybe you find yourself today that you're just focusing on self and your kingdom. I want you to think about your life and to allow the Holy Spirit to arrest you and bring you to a place that you will not be selfish, but that you would seek first him and his kingdom. So as we partner with the Holy Spirit, firstly, the Holy Spirit, we have a relationship with him. It's not just, he's just not God and he's there. We have a relationship with him. We need to listen to his urging, to his unction, to his nudge. You know, the Holy Spirit is so gentle, but he nudges us when we find the things that he tells us to do things. So now everyone wants to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And yes, he does speak. But one of the key ways is the inner witness, the nudge of the Spirit, what to do. You'll just know, okay, today I need to phone that person or this person in front of me. Let me be bold and let me just share the love of God with this individual or pray for this person. You see, the Holy Spirit's given us the ability to sow seed. And when we bring that seed of encouragement and that seed of life and the love of God, as we plant that seed, God will let it grow. And I want to encourage you, follow the nudging, follow the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. This is not spiritual. This is natural. As we work with God, let him do that. Then if the opportunity, secondly, comes, tell the story of your life. Now, every one of us have come to know the Lord as our Lord and Savior, and every one of us has a testimony of what God has done in our lives. Don't forget that. And I want you to use that testimony to tell people about the love of God. And your story is very important. Now, it's not because you've come out of hectic sin and evil. Most of us haven't. We've come because God has transformed our lives, and it's just as powerful of those that have come from steeped in darkness. Your testimony is just as important. And I ask you to write it out, get it to 60 seconds, 90 seconds at the most, and learn how to share that, your testimony, where you were before you came to Christ and how you came to Christ and how's your life different today. Very simple, but have that testimony in your heart that you can share it quite easily, because you see, the people that you're going to be talking to want to see a transformed life and they want to see Jesus in you. So do that. So then when you get an opportunity, share your testimony, and then thirdly, use the power of invitation. Now, most of us are shy and introvert and we're scared. I don't know why we're scared, but we sometimes do not get out there and bold and share the truth. But I want to say you can invite people. You can invite them to an event. You can invite them to a gathering, and you can invite them to Christ. Now, maybe you've never invited someone to Christ, and maybe you don't know how to do that. And I'd just like to put some points here to show you how can you invite someone to come to follow Christ. So firstly, you need to ask them the question, would you like to know more about Christ? So we don't force it upon people. We ask permission. Can we share? And if they open up their heart, then God's given you an opportunity to share your testimony, and then allow them to ask questions, what they're about to do. And then you can ask them the question of, would they like to open their hearts and invite Christ to live inside of them? Now, I'm not a great fisherman. With the family, when we go on holiday, we always seem to take the fishing rod and get out there. But when you put the fishing rod, you got to get the right bait, the right hook on there. And when you cast, and when you feel those fish nibbling, you actually got to strike. You got to pull it in. And I want to just say that's the same thing when you're fishing for men. That's what Jesus said. He'll make us fishers of men. We put the bait out of the love of God. We put the bait out to draw them. The Holy Spirit is working, and they start to nibble. Then we got to strike with the love of God and draw them in. And that's a very simple process, because it's expression of love. And pull them into the Lord, and the Holy Spirit will use you. It's an incredible thing. Pray for them also in that time, that they would open their hearts to know the Lord. And even then, maybe they are ripe. Maybe they're not ripe at that time. But if they are ripe at that time, give them the opportunity to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, I know when I have a rote prayer, and I don't think you need to have a rote prayer, but long as you lead them in a prayer that they confess Jesus as Lord, that they recognize their sin and they hand their sins over to God and ask the Lord to actually transform their lives and help him to follow them, I promise you, if they do that in the name of Jesus, they are saved. Jesus will be their Lord and their Savior. So I don't want to give you a pattern what to do, but I want to encourage you that if you do that, God will work through you. And then thirdly, open your eyes. And I speak to you as a church. We've been stuck in our homes. We've been stuck in our offices. We've been on all our video conferencing through Zoom or MS Teams or whatever it means. Let's open our eyes for what Jesus has and what he's looking at. And I read from John chapter 4, verse 34 to 35. And Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." So I want you, when you go out today and in the week, look, Lord, open my eyes to the opportunities and the possibilities of men that can come to know you. Now, when a farmer plants the seed in the fields and it grows, you know, as the prophecy came, it's got to be harvested. Now, it will not harvest by itself. The Lord has committed himself to us and to use us to harvest the crop of men's hearts, and he wants to use us. So I'm asking you today, as he opens up your eyes, will you put your hand up and you say, Lord, here I am, use me. You see, we need to be asking the questions where we live and where we work. Does your co-worker know the Lord? Does your neighbor know the Lord? Are we so even in, can I just say, and hear my heart now, COVID and what has actually happened with the restrictions has maybe taken away our pioneering spirit and made us settlers, and we're comfortable in our homes and we don't want to go out. Yes, because we don't want to get sick, and I agree with that. But we've taken our eyes off the harvest. It's all about us, and we become selfish again, and we can't be in that place. We need to be out there seeing what Jesus has seen and take the opportunity to share with them the good news of Jesus. And then fourthly, the power of an invitation. Again, important thing, maybe you cannot lead someone to Christ at this time and you need to grow into that, but you can invite someone. From the young people to the children, I speak to you children there, invite your friends. The youth, invite your friends. The young adults, invite your friends and those that you come into contact with. Families, invite family members, invite those around you, your work colleagues, the elderly. You might be in a retirement village. You might have other friends. Invite them. Invite them. You know, we can become so comfortable in our own lives. Invite them. You'll be absolutely surprised. Can I tell you that the power of what God has given us through the internet at the moment is that you just have to send that YouTube link, and I'm telling you, you've invited people. We might not get them into the hall, but we'll get them into seeing what God is actually doing. And I encourage you, send that link to your family. Send that link to your work colleagues. Send it out, and you'll be absolutely surprised at how God will use us in this season to go forward. So I remind you, in conclusion, let's be praying the Lord's Prayer. Let's see his assignment and partner with the Holy Spirit. Let the Lord open our eyes, and let's use the power of invitation to go out there. And I'm going to be sharing in the week to come how we can be effective and in sharing the testimony of Jesus. And I'm excited where the Lord's taking us. He's got us on mission, and he's commissioned us to be on mission. And we have a mission to fulfill. It's no longer sitting back and being settlers. We are pioneers, and we're going to do this together. We are church on the go, and we're going to go forward in this. Amen. I'd like to pray with you. But firstly, if there's anyone out there that you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you've heard the testimony of who he is today, maybe you're ready for him to become Lord and Savior of your life. Maybe you want to recommit your life to him. And I'd like to pray for you today. So those that are out there on YouTube and looking from wherever you are, maybe you're ready. Will you pray with me? Will you say after me, Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm far away from you, but today I want to come close to you. I want to recognize that I've been a sinner, and I want to ask you to forgive me my sins, and that you would wash me and clean me, that I'll be free and new in you. And then too, I make a commitment to follow you and to serve you. I ask you to be my Lord and to be my Savior today, and ask you to lead me into all that you have for me now, in Jesus' name. Amen. And maybe you out there today and you've heard this message and you say, that's not for me. I want to say it's for every member of the kingdom of God. God never said just to the leaders to go and do this work. This is for every one of us. And maybe you are ready today, and maybe you are up today to be like Isaiah and say, here I am, Lord, send me. And if you're ready to make that response to him today, I'd love to pray with you, because you cannot do it alone. You've got to do it with the Holy Spirit. And I'd love to pray that as you commit your way to him, to work on his mission and to see his field, that you'll be used by the Holy Spirit. And it's such an adventure when you put your hand up to work together with him. Can I pray with you? Father, you see those hands, you see those hearts, that Lord, that have been stirred by as you have preached today and as you've brought a revelation. I pray for the work that we all need to do as the priesthood of believers, Lord. I pray, Father, that everyone, as they responded to you by faith, that you would meet them where they are. But Lord, their testimony that you would use powerfully, that you would use them to invite, that you would use them to go, that to share this good news of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, will you give success for the effective work of speaking and preaching you to people around. So Lord, take this family and use it to bring glory to your name as we work diligently with you and with boldness to bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name. Amen.